Now, the other thing I'd like to mention would be the importance there of the panel. And it came into play very much there in the Cork game as well. Like when we threw in, I think it was three or four players there in the last quarter, and what a difference that made. So we're very aware, like, of the importance of having 24 players who can actually participate and you know, when we're in trouble. So I think that's going to be a very important aspect again in the coming year.
John,
yes.
Does the use of videos, watching videos of the opposition and after your own matches, did that come in a lot? What goes on behind the... what goes on behind... How is Kerry winning the All-Ireland match?
Well,
does the video come in?
Yeah, well, absolutely. And I must credit Paddy, in fairness. He puts in long hours, actually, at dissecting these videos. And he has the equipment at home to take sequences from one game and put them into a video, like just little short sequences that might just highlight a particular thing that we want to show the players. And I think that is very, very important. And it's one thing to talk to a player about something, but if you can show it to them up in colour, like in television, it's
and of course the opposition are also doing the same thing, John.
Well, I think everybody's actually using video analysis of it at this stage.
Have you a few comments there before we go to break?
One from Noel Harney from Kilgarvan, wondering why John Egan didn't make the Kerry Millennium team. Noel is a well-known follower of
sport. Yeah.
And Pat Brown, just wanted to know, John O started in midfield and finished up at full back. Which position did he prefer most?
Well, I suppose I played played practically all my club football and college's football and at centre field. I must say I enjoyed playing midfield. I would say overall I got more enjoyment out of playing in the middle of the field. I suppose it takes, you know, a lot of the tension out of football, and that when you're playing full back, like you're aware, like, really, that you're the last man of defence very often, and a mistake back in front of your goals, like, can be crucial. So, you know, you're not willing maybe to take chances inside in that place. So
you didn't do too bad there, John.
Well, you know, you're not. You know, sometimes you'd feel as if you'd like to run up the field and express yourself a little bit more, but you don't really get that opportunity. Although we saw Seamus this year when he's inspirational play, the way he was able to drive out of...
Just before, while you're on that now, yes. How inspirational was his captaincy?
Well, absolutely inspirational. And Seamus is, you know, doesn't say an awful lot really in dressing rooms or anything like that. Like, Seamus talks really with his feet out in the pitch. He's absolutely inspirational. Because I suppose there was a debate right through the county for most of the year about whether we were right or whether we were wrong, should we have brought him out or whatever. But I think we felt that once we had Seamus there in front of the goals, that it was going to be very difficult to pass him. So, you know, I honestly feel we wouldn't have won this All-Ireland without his
play. There was debates, and you're right about it, and there was debates about Maurice Fitzgerald and Seamus. But isn't that what makes the whole thing? I mean, if you have debates in Kerry, you might as well close down the shop. Yeah. And they were all good, solid debates. Now, 0667123666, if you have a question for John O'Keefe, just give us a ring. We're going for short breaks. Well, last Friday night, I was above now, Kerry, the team. The championship was announced up there. A wonderful night above in the Lanterns in Talbot. Nearly 400 guests there. Well done there to their Conan Billy Inright and that outstanding PRO, Jack Hennessy. A superb occasion. Well done to the North Kerry board. Well done up there. Now, there's another big night coming up, and it's down in Waterville, would you believe, on February the 3rd, in the Bayview Hotel. That legendary team that won Waterville's first ever South Kerry title, well, they're being brought together by Paddy Fogarty and his men down there 45 years later. What was the team? Well, I can tell you what it was. Austin Lucy, Dan O'Connell, Willie Keating, Donny O'Sullivan, Joseph Griffin, Pete MacDonald, Timmy Shukru, Eric Murphy, Dennis McCarthy. He was a Kerry select a few years ago. That's Dennis Topcross from Kenmare. Michael Courtney, Mick Dwyer, where did that name come from? That was his first big game. Billy Hoggart, Odie Lucy, Paddy Reedy, and Finn Barnacarliff was the captain. They beat St. Mary's in the final. St. Mary's had the likes of Marcus O'Neill, Jerome O'Shea, Gerald O'Sullivan, Ned Fitzgerald, and Junie Murphy. They had a team was played on the 11th of November 1956, and Michael Courtney scored 2 goals, 2-4 to 1-4. So that's on the 3rd of February. If you want to go to contact Paddy Fogarty, it's going to make some night.
Yeah. While you're on the 3rd of February, we'll get the ads out of the way.
This is the 2nd of February, Court.
Oh, I was wondering.
Second, Paddy Fogarty, the 3rd of February is the Middles presentation.
That's right. Yeah,
Friday, the 2nd of February, my correction, boo-boo-gay, wrong number, wrong date. Friday, the 2nd of February, that's the Waterford night.
And on Saturday, the 3rd of February, the middle function that was postponed because of the weather is going ahead at the Glen Eagle, and the senior team, obviously, the junior team, and the minor hurlers have been honoured. And those who purchase tickets, this is an ad really, and people purchase tickets, and those tickets are still valid if they wish to use them, but we'd like them to contact the county board and let us know. And if people just can't come and they purchase tickets, there's a refund available. But the same tickets are valid for the third, but we'd like people to confirm that they're attending.
So Waterville is the 2nd, Friday and, the 2nd, and
the third.
Yeah. John? Of course, a lot of people mightn't realise, but 2 years ago you were training the Kerry team, but you weren't a selector. Then you were a selector then last year. And of course, there is a huge difference, of course, of being a selector and not being a selector, isn't there?
Yeah, it wasn't very satisfactory, to be honest, the year before, because when you don't have a say, really, like it just doesn't work, really, no. And, you know, you're outside the circle and you've no real authority whatsoever. And it wasn't very satisfactory. It was completely different when you're actually involved and you're a selector. And, you know, it makes an awful difference.
It does, of course.
Yeah.
Isn't John, just to change slightly, and your colleague, Mickey O'Sullivan, I see in an article in the paper this year, talked about burnout, and you mentioned it yourself now in terms of how professional the game has become. And
yes.
I see where Joe Brawley has called it a day, citing reasons of the involvement. Do you think that, you know, you had a long career in the GA, but the player will find it hard to...
Well, I feel that I think they have a better chance, actually, these days, because particularly now we'll take it, from the point of view of injuries. Like, if you happen to get a niggling injury in the Kerry scene at the moment, like, we'll take a look at you, and, you know, whatever it needs to be done will be done. I think we're smart enough in the management side, like, not to actually, you know, push anybody who has an injury. And I think from the point of view, you know, of longevity, like in careers, if a player actually just knows how to take care of himself and act quickly enough with these minor injuries, there's a good chance, like, that you're going to you'll extend your career. Apart from that, I think there is huge awareness nowadays on, you know, warming up properly before training, before matches, stretching properly before training, before matches, during training, after training, and maybe days that you're off as well that you will stretch again, so that you're actually taking good care of yourself, and that way you can actually prevent injuries. You know, we're also looking at players actually trying to improve even sprinting techniques and that, so as that, you know, they're not going to put themselves, you know, in trouble, we'll say, with the possibility of picking up injuries, so as that they're striding out properly, or good technique and sprinting and that, and, you know, all that helps, like, just to get you through your, you know, and we know now the type of commitments to some of these players like Seamus and the Gaeltacht lads, and, you know, who are playing practically from January to the December.
John, after you beat Cork, how did you approach Clare? Was it difficult? Because it must have been difficult mentally to be preparing the players and then go on and talk about the Armagh semi-final, the replay and the extra time in the line of keeping players fresh, in the line of preparing them between matches, in the line of getting them ready for Clare. How did they approach it in the semi-final?
I felt like when we came back straight away after the Cork game, I think we all knew that, you know, we had work to do, that we weren't actually good enough to go on and win something at that stage, because the way we faded, like, was worrying, and you know, we knew that we would have to sustain or challenge, like, much better than that. So I think when we came back, and Paulie was very good again on this, and that I had spoken to Paulie as well, I suppose, because of my involvement with Clare before that, that I knew, like, that Clare wouldn't be an easy pushover. We felt, well, that's the way we approached it with the players, and we trained very seriously from the point of view of, we kept up the tempo in that we did our sprint training, we did a lot of football again, and we got into a lot of backs and forwards. And we each player was fully stretched really in every session, apart from about a week and a half, like up to the game, where we would taper down, ease off quite a lot. You know, we wouldn't actually stay on the field for more than an hour, and we might cut back on the on our backs and forwards and that to have it more intense, but a shorter spell like of training, so that we would be aware all the time of players being fresh for matches. Like, there's no point in hammering fellas in Fitzgerald Stadium and not having them right like on the day. So we sort of that was our tactic really for all matches, and that for up to about a week and a half or so before the big games, we would train quite hard in that, you know, the football would be fairly intense. We brought in other lads to make up 15 a side, and we would play flat out and, you know, just, you know, good contests. But then for about a week and a half before the important game, we would taper down, ease off, and practically, you know, we're going very likely like the last week before matches.
No, remember, John, yeah. We're so engrossed listening to you. I forgot about the quiz. 0667123666. Eileen is waiting for a call. The fifth correct caller. The question is, and of course it concerns John O'Keefe, how many Railway Cup medals has John O'Keefe, the fifth correct caller to Clare, will get quiz voucher for £60? Eamon, highly proficient stuff. Tough to win in all Ireland, isn't it?
Well, I think this is a good insight into what's involved, and we had the same from Mikko and from Paddy in the last couple of weeks, and to me, like, it will beg a change in our attitude towards players who are on inter-county teams, and that's something we might get onto later on.
John, your memories now of the two Armagh games in Breedlet, your memories, you have vivid memories of the incidents and what happened and what didn't happen. Did you make mistakes and what happened? Talk about sport.
Well, I suppose, you know, going up to play Armagh, first and foremost, it was a little bit into the unknown because we hadn't played them. You know, we didn't know anything really about them apart from what we saw on television, and they looked a good side from the Ulster final. So, but you know, we had from video analysis and from listening to people, we heard about this a physical outfit like an Armagh who would play quite defensively and really close down midfield. So, like we you know, that was a bit new to us. So the first day we played. Very quickly we could see that you know, our midfielders weren't actually getting a free run to take the kickouts. There was a fair amount of blocking going on, and you know, it didn't really suit us. But you know, the physical aspect of the game as well, like, was a new dimension. Like, because you play Cork normally, like, they'll play football, they'll have plenty of pace, and they'll have nice skillful forwards. And but with the straight, you know, we didn't really know with Armagh. Like, straight away they had John McEntee was their full forward, and straight away, like, he was going back playing in front of his full back. So, like, that type of thing was going on. So, you know, we felt we'd have to work our way around it and see how it would go. But I suppose the greatest feeling I have from the whole thing is that with when we got into the last minute or so, I felt it was over. I honestly felt we were gone, we were out of it. And I know that the Armagh lad who kicked the ball into Declan O'Keefe's hands will rule that, because I'm quite sure if he kicked that wide, the game was over. But in fairness to our fellas, like, that they had the composure and the presence of mind to walk that ball up the field and not kick it recklessly, and to walk that famous Morris free.
What did it take, Morris? What did it take a player in front of such an audience to kick that free, John? How would you? Yeah. You've gone through that now.
Sum it up for us. Well, I'll just mention first of all that I thought that the goal that Morris got actually earlier on, like, it was the goal of the year really, because what he had to do and defenders he had to beat, and then to have the presence of mind like to squeeze it in on the left post with his left foot. To kind of, you know, just if you saw Premiership teams doing it over in England, like, we'd be looking at it forever. So I thought that was huge class attached to that. But to go to the last free, I you know, there are a couple of stories about it, but I must say, that, you know, it took someone like Morris, because Morris would have the confidence in his own ability. Like he would feel like that he was going to score that. You know, he must have felt it because he went over and he looked for the ball, and he felt himself that, you know, I'll put this over. Now, I presume like what he would have to do was to block out everything else and just possibly think of, you know, technique and just making good contact with the ball, head down, make good contact, follow through, and the rest should take care of itself.
It wasn't easy.
But not easy, no. Not easy. No. I'd say if you put it to the rest of the team out there, and that split second, those few seconds, that they'd all be turning their backs, really. I don't, you know.
Well, Eamon, we have the replay and the extra time and the draw on All Ireland to come to Galway all the time. We're going for a short break. 0667123666, stay with us in Terrace Talk.
You're on the field with Terrace Talk. Thanks to Quills Menswear Killarney, Kenmare and Patrick Street, Cork.
John, biggest influence on career, and what does he think? Sports and young people, obviously.
Yeah, I suppose the influence would have started with my father, you know, who played Kerry football himself, and from a very young age, I remember he was throwing a ball at me and kicking the ball in the front garden. So I suppose, like, from the word go, like this, that was the main influence as a young lad.
John, I'm not going to insult you or anything, but I'm anxious to get back to the Armagh, the replay and the draw and the All-Ireland. Away with you.
Okay, where are we now, Isha?
The Armagh. It's after Morris Fritz's
fight. Oh, all right.
Yeah, we're in the replay. And, John, and by the way, seriously, the extra time, first time Kerry ever played extra time in Croke Park. That in itself is historic. Talk to us about extra time.
Well, I suppose, like, it was very, very pleasing from my point of view, like, to see that we had the legs for extra time on the day. But I remember saying it to the lads themselves when we had some really rough bad nights in January, and the boys were slogging, and I said, look, this will win the All-Ireland for us. I said, this is the winning of the All-Ireland and the work you're putting in now in January. So I think it was borne out later on, I think, that they had that residue of fitness and strength, like, and that came true, I think, in the Armagh game the second time round, when they certainly overran the Armagh lads. But again, it was historic, I suppose, and it was a tremendous lift to us, and it was exactly what we needed. I honestly feel that if we didn't get the second game against Armagh, we wouldn't have beaten Galway afterwards.
Was it draining for you in the line, John, the whole thing?
Oh, well, it was absolutely draining, yes. You know, it was an outstanding occasion, I think. It was just so good to be Kerry on that day. I think anybody who was there, like, would have felt that. Like, at that stage, you know, the spirit amongst the lads themselves on the field, like, that they were not going to be beaten when they came out. And, you know, we had some genius from Mike Frank, I know, and, I mean, it was...
The supporters, Kerry, and the county board, both played a huge part.
Oh, absolutely, yes, absolutely. And, I mean, the county board, particularly the way they allowed us, like, to have the players for training without, you know, the club commitments. I know the club suffered as a result, but to have the players exclusively, we'll say, for championship preparation, like, is worth a lot to us, like, trying to prepare them. Because at that stage, I think Jack O'Connor and Eddie and Eamon, we'd just looking at them playing on the field, you can tell whether a lad is, you know, he's going down a little bit, or he's fresh, or he's looking good, or he's looking bad, you know. So we had to keep monitoring them. And I think the huge factor, I think, in our preparation at that stage was to have them fresh, make sure they were rested, and make sure we didn't overtrain or, you know, overdo the physical work.
Yeah, I mean, get them onto the All-Ireland final. Yeah.
Obviously, I think that the feeling was going into the All-Ireland final that Galway still had a kind of an upper hand.
Yes, I think generally that was a general view, like, in after their great win against Kildare. But I felt like that against Galway, that it was going to be a different game again. Galway were a superb footballing team, probably the best six forwards, like, as a unit in the country, and they were really going to put it up to us. It was very much 50-50, really. But, you know, I think after the two Armagh games and the extra time, we were in with a great chance at that stage.
John, you have seven Railway Cup medals, of course. 72, 73 with the University, 75, 77, 78, 81 and 82. Pat Gagne, well done, Pat Gagne, your good friend up in the stall. John O'Keefe, seven All-Ireland medals. Seven Railway Cup medals, well done there to Pat Gagne. John, where would you want?
Sorry, there was a question there about youth and sport, was there?
Was a question about how important sport is for you, John.
Oh yeah, I mean, I could speak for a whole program on that, like, because it's kind of a pet thing with me being involved in physical education, teaching and that, but it's huge. And I suppose nowadays when we look at our youth and we look at going to the schooling, we go, you know, very often staying in school for study maybe till 6 o'clock or going home, you know, this thing, computers, videos, televisions, homework, when have they time actually to play in sport? Like, it's
John,
huge.
How would the homecoming compare with all the homecomings that you received in your time? And also, is the new championship set up going to be a help to you this year? I think it is.
Well, I'd say first and foremost, I was unfortunate in that I didn't make the homecoming myself. I had to stay above with the Australian deal above in Dublin, but as far as I know, like, it was unbelievable, the homecoming. And what I would say about that is that these bunch of players, like, they've witnessed all this now. They know what success is all about. These lads are big stars in Kerry now. Like, I would just hope that when we're looking into the next, to this coming year, that, you know, they'll realise what it means now, to, especially the younger lads, to win an All-Ireland medal. And I hope the hunger, like, is going to come back, that we want to go ahead now and go for back-to-back All-Ireland.
New set-up, John?
Yeah, the extra games will be a consideration in that our panel will have to be stronger than ever. And possibly, you know, we may need a few extra players, like, to strengthen our panel, like maybe going on to maybe 28 or 29 players because of the extra games.
Yeah, I was just looking today, you know, we'll start on May the 13th. If we happen to win, we play on June the 16th. And if we happen to win, we're in the Munster final on July the 15th. And win or lose, the Munster final, you have another game after that. And that's on a regular basis. And it's going to be a big problem in relation to senior team and in relation to getting back to clubs.
It's going to be a huge problem.
Well, I feel the clubs are the ones who really suffer with this because, you know, I feel that, you know, being a trainer of the county team, I want the players to do certain things and to train a certain way. And then if you have the pressure of the club coming on top of them as well and doing extra things or maybe playing extra games, you know, it's the players themselves could be the ones to lose out because, you know, at the end of the day, they can end up with injuries,
John,
or whatever.
John, yeah. Is the team, well, I know they're capable of winning, but this is a young team. They must be well capable. What's it going to take for them? In 30 seconds, what's it going to take for them to retain the title?
You have to get the same hunger back again. They must want it badly. And, you know, all this kind of holidays and celebrations, that has to stop now because you can get kind of mentally soft as well as physically soft. So you have to put that behind you and you have to look ahead and live the life of a professional footballer again, I'm afraid.
John, we're coming to the end of the story. Eileen was taking your call. Brian Namick was on the sound there and Paul was the producer. And next week, of course, we'll have Jackie Welch, the Belly Langford trainer, and the Valencia trainer, Finan Murphy. John, listen to me. Yourself and Paddy and all the lads, you've done tremendous work. It was even a long year in front of you, and the number one thing is it is great to see you looking so fit and well again, and I have no doubt you're going to put more into it this year than you did even last year. So everyone look out for me and myself,
especially the players.
John, thanks for joining
us. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.